Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. We are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't stenciled on your locker.
It's Rep Game with RP3, Raymond Parts III.
One of God's own prototypes. A high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rep Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
You know LSU. You know the history that comes with 7. PP7. Honey Badger.
He is going to be thrown. The ball comes out. It's loose. Tiger, touchdown.
Booger Nation. And the Flash. That's the history. But now it's my turn to wear 7. To be the next playmaker, the next leader, the next to make history.
Good morning, Acadiana. I'm Raymond Parts III, and this is the Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game. You're home for the LSU Tigers. We're broadcasting live, as always, from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. Got a jam-packed show for you today. We'll have John Marques from the Town Talk and thetowntalk.com to break down the disappointing results with attendance and with the product on the court for March Madness. We're going to talk to Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag. He's going to help us talk about the LSU basketball situation, as well as preview the regular season finale versus Vanderbilt on Saturday, which you can listen to live right here on 103.7 The Game. We'll also talk to our friend Patrick McClellan, stand-up comedian and the host of the Lima Time podcast, talking some Houston Rockets and some Houston Astros.
Never have enough Lima time.
There's never not enough time for Lima time.
Time.
Plus, we'll have my rant of the week, RPOs with RP3, and we'll have a special hardwood edition of the Louisiana wrap-up. So, jam-packed show for you. But we're going to start things off with that audio that you did hear. It's the one and only Grant Delpit. Only the 9th unanimous All-American in LSU football program history, and the first to receive that honor since Mo Claiborne did it back in 2011. And we said on this show, we talked about on this show, that the person that I felt deserved to be wearing number 7 was Grant Delpit. There was a lot of talk about Derek Stingley Jr. coming in, the freshman phenom. He's already on campus. He's already practicing with the team. He enrolled early. Number 1 cornerback recruit in the country. About him coming in and possibly wearing number 7, I said Grant Delpit has earned the right to wear the number 7, to restore the number 7 back to what it needs to be. And sure enough, that's what occurred yesterday. The LSU Athletic Department made the announcement on the first day of spring practice for the football team that Grant Delpit would be switching his jersey from number 9 to the number 7. And for all those that aren't aware, look, it started with Patrick Peterson. Other players have worn number 7. Burt Jones was one that springs to mind. But when Peterson came, he was the number 1 prospect in that recruiting class. He came in, he made an instant impact, one of the most decorated players in LSU history. By far, in my opinion, the best LSU player I've seen personally in my time covering sports in the state of Louisiana. He wore number 7, and when he left, they started this tradition where he passed it down to Tyron Matthew, the Honey Badger. And then what did the Honey Badger do? He ended up being the first LSU Heisman finalist since the 70s. But then the jersey went away for a couple years because Honey Badger got kicked out of school, got kicked off the team, and got kicked out of school. No one wore number 7 for 2 years. The jersey tradition that had just started ended up dying almost immediately. And then Boogie came, Leonard Fournette. He took on number 7 because he came from the same town, same neighborhood, same city, same area code as Matthew here in the state of Louisiana. He wanted to rep the number, and he wore number 7 and wore it proudly. And then he handed it off to DJ Chark, a guy who, coming out of Alexandria Senior High School, he came to LSU. He was a guy that impressed people at camps but can never get things going. He traded in his number 82 for number 7, had the best season of his career for LSU. Now he's playing in the NFL. But then there was a situation of number 7 last year. And they had someone have the number, and did not do great with it.
Yeah, Jonathan Giles, not the best showing. And what's even worse is that not only did he have a poor showing, but it was poor enough to where they had to take the number from the kid in the middle of the season.
And there's some dispute about that, because apparently Ed Orgeron, after 5 games, went to the young man. He's the Texas Tech transfer, very right. heralded. People thought he was going to come in and rewrite the record books. They're like, this guy's coming in, he's going to be like an Odell Beckham. He's going to be like a Jarvis Landry. And it never happened. Not in the return game, nor did it happen in him as a wide receiver. And after 5 games, whether it was him folding under the pressure or Ed Orgeron noticing that he couldn't handle the pressure, he stopped wearing it.
Bet .. says that he didn't just give that number up.
Yes. Other reports say that Orgeron, they took it from him.
Yeah, and then his response to Orgeron, what you're about to talk about now, his reasoning for, or not reasoning, but why he says, or he says he did a better job this year with picking your number 7
yes,
guy.
Yes, Ed Orgeron threw shade at Giles yesterday when he's asking about it. Because, you know, he had all this glowing stuff to say about Grant Delpit, and then he said about it. But then he had to throw shade at Giles. I did a better job of picking who got it this year than I did last year. So you threw the player under the bus, and that's a little harsh.
I hope he didn't do it on purpose. I hope it was one of those, just an oversight thing. He didn't realize that by gassing up one guy, you're kind of dousing on another.
Correct. So that being said, so that was some positive news coming out of Baton Rouge yesterday. Number 7 is going to be returned to glory, so to speak. Grant Delpit is very deserving. I'd also anticipate the other heralded jersey is number 18 for LSU. I would expect Joe Burrow to get that before the start of the season. I think that's probably a slam dunk. Now, also, Ed Orgeron, when he was talking to the media yesterday during the first day of spring football for the Tigers, he gave us an update on someone's status and what he would like to see possibly happen for the 2019 Tigers.
Yeah, you know, that's for those guys to handle. That's an administration deal. But you know what? I hope it does get resolved. I think Ed's a great young man. And as soon as it gets resolved, I'd like to have him back on the team if it does get resolved.
That's Ed Orgeron. He's talking about former LSU guard Ed Ingram, who was arrested on sexual assault counts involving a minor last August, got suspended from the team, knocked out of school, but apparently he's back in school. There's some type of issue where people are talking about that Ingram could possibly come back to the team. So that could be some positive news for this year's team as well. So definitely some positive news coming out of Baton Rouge, which is needed based on the report that came out yesterday concerning the basketball team. As you know, we'll talk more about that later in my rant of the week. But when we come back, John Marques from The Town Talk and thetowntalk.com is going to join us talking about March Madness right here on The Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to The Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. It's time to bring on our good friend John Marques from the Daily Town Talk in Alexandria and thetowntalk.com. Welcome back to the show, brother. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Ray. How about you?
Doing well, man. Look, I wanted to bring you on. We touched on it a little bit last week where you were out there at the Rapides Parish Coliseum working the March Madness, the Top 28, what we used to call the old Top 28 or the old Sweet 16 back in the day for the Girls State Basketball Tournament. And there's a lot of reports of a lot of lopsided games, and a lot of reports of attendance not being great, and not a lot of great news coming out of Alexandria, even though the facility is top-notch and they put on such a good show. You were out there covering it for multiple publications. What were your initial thoughts from the week that was there for March Madness?
Overall, I thought the quality has declined. Now, I'm not saying, you know, the state doesn't have good basketball. Far from it. It's just, I just think there was just too many watered-down games, and it's a byproduct of having crowning 12 state champions in basketball in this state, or baseball or softball coming up. It's just too much, and you get bad games. I'm sorry, but some of the games out there were difficult to watch. You know, there were times I was covering a game, and I'm like, they're not paying me enough to have to write about this. I mean, it was just, you know, blowouts are going to happen. You know, let's take that off the table. Blowouts will happen, but, you know, it's just some of those teams, I hate to say it, they don't belong in this, playing for a state championship or competing in the semifinals. And, you know, and in Division Five of the select schools, which are the private schools, you know, Claiborne Christian, I'm not taking anything away from them. They didn't have to win a playoff game to get to the state semifinals. Think about that. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is, and it's one of those unintended consequences of what has come. And, you know, the sad thing is you don't see it getting any better.
Was your opinion, and I know you wrote about this in your column that's currently up on thetowntalk.com, and I recommend everyone to go check it out. It's titled LHSA March Madness Lacks Appeal of Former Eras. I take it your opinion isn't in the minority there, John. I take it you talked to other journalists, coaches, and fans of the state tournament, and they probably chimed in with a similar mindset, so to speak.
Yeah, you would have to think so. I mean, and is it fair to compare it to when, like, the girls' tournament was last in Alexandria back in the early 90s? Probably not. You know, things change. You know, you still had outstanding individual players. You know, you saw players that are going to Mississippi State, going to LSU, going to Southeastern, going to Louisiana Lafayette. You know, and there were some really good teams out there, but you would like to see the best teams face the best teams. And, you know, and I mentioned in my column, John Curtis. I mean, John Curtis had a really good team, but how much were they tested? Their semifinal opponent scored 18 points. Their final opponent scored 24 points. I mean, I would have much rather seen them play, you know, Captain Shreve, which won Class 5A, or Denham Springs, which was the runner-up in 5A, you know, or let them play one of the Class 4A finalists. I think you would have gotten a better game out of John Curtis. And, you know, it's just, you know, in the past you could always count on the best teams making it to the finals or making it to the semifinals. Great programs, great traditions, and you didn't have that. And worse, you got so many teams, so many small schools, otherwise they don't bring anybody anymore.
But in your column, you said the exception to that, and it could have been because of the proximity to the championship location, is, you know, for those that don't know, Vernon Parish has a ton of little small schools throughout it. Everyone thinks of Vernon Parish, they think of Leesville or, you know, Rosemont and Pickering, but they have all those small schools as well, like Hicks and like Anacoco, and even a team in Rapides Parish that's a small team, like Plainview, out there on the parish line. Those, you mentioned in your column that those fans came out in droves.
Right, and, you know, you're still talking about an hour drive, and back in the day when Anacoco had a really girls' dynasty, I think they won six straight state titles, and they had some really good players. The Anthony girls, who went to, one of them went to Louisiana Tech to play, one of them went to LSU to play. You know, I don't know if anybody was left in the town, because they all came out, and they brought great crowds, and it gave it a boost. But then you'd have 4A schools or some 3A schools, and you'd have family and friends and that was pretty much it. You know, you didn't see a lot of students coming out. Now, you know, it was the weekend of Mardi Gras. Did that have something to do with it? It may have been. You know, the 5A finalists, Captain Shreve and Dennis Rings, they brought a great crowd. So, you know, hat tip to them. But for some schools, I mean, it was just a dearth of fans. And if you're a local fan, because, you know, a lot of people in Alexandria, they like girls basketball. They like women's basketball. Louisiana College had a great tradition of the excellence over the years. So people would come out, but now you're coming out and you're like, well, I've never heard of these schools. Who are they? And, you know, it's just not the same. And worse, I don't see it getting better next year.
Well, that was going to be my next question, John, is that you say you don't see it getting better because of the continued split, and now starting next season, the private schools or the select schools have the opportunity to hold their own championships wherever there may be. That's just going to make it worse, right? I mean, it's going to splinter it off even more, and then you're going to have around the same weekend, you're going to have, say, a public school going at it, and then there'll be a private school that's going to be holding their championship game maybe at a home gym. And now maybe those crowds may be better. Is that maybe the glass half full approach with when it comes to the basketball and in particularly the basketball state championships, that if they're holding them at their home gym like they did back in the 70s and the 80s, is that
well,
the best?
Well, really, to be honest with you, you got to go back to probably the 50s and the 60s, the last time, you know, a state championship in this state for basketball was played in a home gym. You know, the boys and the girls tournaments, you know, they started at the Rapides Parish Coliseum back in the 60s. And ever since then, they've been played, you know, for the women, for the girls, you know, in Alexandria, Lake Charles, Hammond, a couple years in Monroe. The boys, when they left Alexandria and outgrew the Coliseum, they went to LSU, and then they went to the Cajun Dome, and now they're in Lake Charles. I mean, those are nice facilities. And now you're going to go into a gym that may not have a regulation-sized court. Maybe, you know, only seat 500 people. So in some ways, you're diminishing the experience for those players. And, you know, there's still not been any direction, like, you know, the bids come up now for the Sweet 16 or March Madness, the sites, and for baseball and softball and all the other places. So what's the bid process going to be like? Are you bidding for 12 state championships, or are you bidding for 7? You know, nobody knows. And how does that impact everything? So it's, you know, it's just, and unfortunately, you haven't seen much leadership come out of the LHSAA, and to be honest with you, they may not even know what they can do.
Yeah, they may not know as of right now what they can do or what they can't do. And not to mention that you're going to have some private schools that have already kind of uttered things on the record and off the record that they're still going to want to be part of that championship weekend. You know, there are some schools out there that have no desire to host it at a neutral site somewhere else, that they want to be part of the weekend. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts here. Go ahead.
Well, and two, I mean, and if say, you know, for some of the schools that want to play in a bigger facility, are there going to be facilities available when you're talking about college basketball still going on? And even high school gyms, say you want to do it on a Friday or Saturday, well, you still got the boys' playoffs going on. So how do you start clearing out those dates?
And who's going to set it up too, John? That's the other thing. I mean, let's say that you can't use the Cajun Dome. Let's say you're a select school from around here. Let's say you're STM or Turlings or whoever here in the Acadiana area, and you say, well, you want to use the Cajun Dome. Well, let's say the Cajun Dome is not available for whether it's wrestling or for the actual basketball team playing in there, because they have so many shows that go through there. You know, are they going to be forced to have to play in Blackham? You know, it has the history and it'd be available, but once again, who's going to get Blackham ready? Who's going to be able to run the concessions? Who's going to do the programs? I mean, there's all these pieces that I don't think people thought out of when they made the vote. They just said, okay, we're going to do this vote and we'll be done with it, not thinking all the logistics and how much of a nightmare it really is to put it on even at one site, much less having to do it at multiple sites.
Correct. And what about the LHSA staff? They don't have the staff to put on two tournaments at the same time. They just don't. And, you know, I go back, if you were going to split all this up into private and public schools way back when, that's fine. Let's reduce the number of classifications you have.
I would agree with that.
Private schools don't need five classifications. Make them three. Public schools, contract them down to five. All of a sudden, now you're, instead of 12 state champions, you're crowning eight, which is just one more. I think people can live with that. I mean, you know, before they even split off, the Class C schools didn't have enough schools to fill out an entire bracket.
Correct, for years.
Now you just made it worse, you know.
Yeah, you took one of the issues that we always had in talking about B.C., and we don't have a ton of B and C programs around here in Acadiana, but there's far more in central Louisiana. But the problem was always whether it was with the basketball tournament or even softball or in baseball, you know, Class C, there was never enough teams. So you already had those buys and double buys, and it always was kind of a downer because you'd be like, okay, you know, we have to make sure to give these teams love, but you got teams that are making it there that haven't played as many games as everyone else, and that was the biggest gripe. You should just combine B and C. That's what we heard for years, right? B and C should just combine into one class. There's no need to have it. There's no need to have all these buys and these double buys when it comes to playoff brackets, and yet here we are, and they just took that thing that everyone had a problem with and then made it 10 times worse.
And you're never going to have an equitable situation. You don't have it in professional sports. You don't have it in college sports. You're not going to have it in high school sports. I mean, sorry, it's just the way of the world. You know, Grace Christian, you know, they're a local school here in Alexandria, a small private school. They've made it to the semifinals the last 2 years in girls, and this year they didn't win a district game. But because the playoffs were splintered, they went down to whoever they played in this quarterfinals, upset them, and, you know, we're in the semifinals. One year they made the finals in Lake Charles, and I think they had won two games all season.
Woof.
And they won, and then they won like a quarterfinal game, and they won a semifinal game, and they were playing for a state championship. I mean, I'm dear friends. I love the coach. He was the coach back then. You know, I got good friends who teach there. I know people who send their kids there, but even they were like, this isn't right.
So we'll wrap it up with this. We're talking with John Marques. He's a senior columnist for the Daily Town Talk in Alexandria, as well as the towntalk.com. How does this get resolved, John, or does it?
Well, it would get resolved if people would take the emotions away and come together and let's figure out how to solve this. Instead of, you know, you have the Pockets in Lafayette trying to figure out what's best for them, Pockets in New Orleans figuring out what's best for them. Then you have the staunch supporters of the split up in Shreveport, what's best for them. You know, why not form a committee? Let's get together. Let's figure out a way to solve this that's equitable for everybody. And, you know, but once again, we've not seen that leadership coming from anybody with the LHSA over the years. You know, Tommy Henry, the longtime commissioner, had many faults, but he kept the organization together. And it seems like ever since he retired, the two men that have succeeded him have not, they just don't wield that power or that respect or that authority. And, you know, even I think Kenny Henderson was probably a major proponent of splitting the organization, you know. So, you know, I just don't know if it can be fixed at this point.
John, brother, I appreciate you making the time for us. As always, terrific work there at the Town Talk and on the towntalk.com. Appreciate you coming on, man, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week and the weekend, brother.
Hey, you too, Ray. Thanks.
It's John Marques, senior columnist for the Town Talk and the towntalk.com. We got to hit a break here for Rap Game with RP3, but more after this here on 103.7 The Game.
It'll change with a...
Welcome back to the Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parse III, right here on 103.7 The Game, your home of the LSU Tigers, broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. Just a reminder, we got you covered tonight and the rest of the weekend for your local and LSU sports. Today, Bumper to Bumper Sports will go from 4 to 6:30. That'll lead right into the opening game of the three-game series versus the Cal Bears for the LSU baseball team. Pre-game show will be at 6:30, first pitch at 7 tonight. Then we'll take a day off from baseball on Saturday. We'll have the producers for you at 10 a.m., the world-famous Clint D., possibly a Cody Schutz appearance. Eh, maybe.
And that's a shame.
But then we'll have LSU versus Vanderbilt men's basketball regular season finale for both teams. There inside the PMAC, pregame for that will be at 7, tip at 7:30. And then on Sunday, we'll go back to the Diamond there at Alex Box Stadium. LSU baseball will wrap up the three-game series versus the Cal Bears. 11:30 pregame right here on 103.7 The Game. First pitch at noon. Also, reminder, today, high school basketball state championship, STM. The Cougars take on De La Salle at 2 p.m. You can listen to that here on the Delta Media Network, 1330, The Rewind, or one of our sister stations, as well as 97.7, 2 p.m. High School Hoops, STM, from Lake Chuck. We touched on it to begin the show.
Can you do this without breaking into a rant, or can you say, is that gonna, are you able to save that? Because I'm not prepared. I'm not ready for you to do that yet.
I can do it. I can be a professional. I can be professional.
Well, I didn't ask you to do all that. I just wanted you to not go into a rant.
Well, look, the bar was set very high with my co-host.
Yeah.
We were having technical difficulties with the mic for my 4.5-year-old daughter.
Right.
Who was in the studio. She just got up there, sat down. Like, I didn't even get a chance to sit in my seat. She pulled up one of the chairs, sat down, and then was like, Daddy, I need these headphones.
That was it. I mean,
boom.
For your sake, let's just call you lucky that there were technical difficulties and she didn't get on the air. Because if she did, Raymundo here may be out of a job.
Big props to
the wife.
Wait
till she learns how to write, too. You're screwed, buddy.
I'm done.
Like, I mean, she's got you on the talking end. And as soon as she learns how to write, you are no need for you in the Parch household.
Yeah. Yes. Except for the one that needs to kill the spiders.
Oh, that's no. You're job. Right. Yeah. No, that's you're right. Job. Always needed. Got to kill the spiders.
Got to kill the spiders. But we started the show talking about the positive news coming out of Baton Rouge yesterday. Just to quickly recap, Grant Delpit, who's been wearing number 9, the sensational strong safety for LSU, the unanimous All-American, only the 9th in program history and the first since Mo Claiborne accomplished the feat back in 2011. He's going to wear number 7. Great day. Coach Ed Orgeron even talked about Ed Ingram. Apparently that situation is being handled. There's some type of, I would anticipate some type of plea deal going on, or the charges are going to be dropped, and that the school, it appears that the school is possibly going to be reinstating Ed Ingram. If that's the case, that's going to help solidify that offensive line that struggled last year. So, as a fan of the Tigers, there was plenty to be positive about yesterday. But we all know that Grant Delpit wearing number 7 and Ed O talking about O-line depth is not what everyone was talking about, and that was because of now the third report from Yahoo Sports that on the wiretap that the feds have a detailed conversation that Will Wade is having with this in-between guy, this low-level agent, this wannabe agent, who's already been found guilty of corruption in a trial earlier, in a trial from last year. So this breaks while Wade, while Will Wade is in the middle of having, like, a press conference or, like, a meet-and-greet situation at the casino.
It was the luncheon, the men's basketball luncheon, I believe, is what But yes, at Le Berge on the levee there and hanging out, enjoying some grub. And hey, Coach, we got a bit of a speed bump for you.
Yeah, he came out and talked a little bit of the media, and this is what he had to say about the report.
Yeah, I haven't read it, so I don't have any comment on that. We'll move forward as we need to.
I knew about 20 minutes beforehand, 20, 30 minutes beforehand, I think. I didn't know what, they don't tell you what's in it.
They don't tell you what's in it. For everything that the LSU men's basketball team has overcome this year, and it started off with Wade Sims being murdered. You know, you have a player that had his life taken away, and that should have been the story of this season. It should have been the team rallying, especially the guys on the team that are from BR. Like Skylar Mays and like Javonte Smart, you know, that they're playing for him. They're playing in Wade's memory. They, during the game or at the end of the game, they always look up to the, you know, look up to the sky and pay respect to him. That should be what we're talking about. We should be talking about this LSU men's basketball team having its best season in a generation, that they have a legit chance, a legit opportunity to advance to the Final Four for the first time since 2006. All, you know, honoring their fallen teammate. That LSU basketball is relevant again, and that we're talking about sellouts in the PMAC, and we're talking about crowds being back, and it being, once again, the Def Dome. But we're not. Because, once again, we're talking about something that has occurred off the court involving the coach. And if the reports, if the Yahoo Sports report, and then ESPN also did some reporting on this that's additional that the Yahoo report did not have, that there's a lot of pieces here. That I mean, this is the possibility of just imploding this team. Because if the reference to Smart that's in the transcript is in fact about Javonte Smart and about him wanting a bigger piece of the pie and that they try to do it with his family, and Will Wade goes on this rant where he's complaining about the fact that he has not been able to lock up Javonte Smart. What is that going to do to the team? Like, I understand that Will Wade says, well, I haven't had a chance to look over it, but if you're telling me, if I'm supposed to believe for a second that any of the members of the LSU team haven't heard about this or haven't seen what was said, or people close to them, whether they're aunts or uncles or grandmas or grandpas or moms or dads or girlfriends or, you know, friends or whoever it may be, if they haven't had an opportunity to do that, you're trying to tell me that they haven't talked to these guys? And how's Javonte Smart going to feel about this? Now, once again, there's some gray area here. There's never in the reporting so far, whether it was in the fall, right before the start of SEC Media Days, where Will Wade had to address it there, when the initial story broke, or since the last couple of weeks of the reports of Will Wade, as well as Arizona head coach Sean Miller, going to be subpoenaed to testify in a trial April 22nd. And now this. Nowhere in any of those reports is there anything with Will Wade saying about money or giving a dollar amount. Okay? So there's some gray area there. When he talks about, well, you know, he wants a bigger piece of the pie or something like that, Will Wade, even though you may not believe him and even though it may not be accurate, he could go into a courtroom and say, well, I was talking about giving him an athletic scholarship to come play at LSU. But most people feel like the reporting so far that this is kind of a slow reveal, that this is just the tip of the iceberg. So instead of talking about heading into the Vanderbilt game with a chance to win the first regular season title since 2009, to be the top seed in the SEC tournament, a tournament, by the way, that the LSU men's basketball program has only won once, back in 1981. Everything's in front of them. Get to have that regular season championship. Get to put that banner up. Get to go to the SEC tournament in Nashville as the one seed. Get to build up momentum of increasing their overall seeding for the NCAA tournament, possibly dropping, rising all the way up to a two seed. And depending on how things shake out, with the other conference tournaments, with other teams possibly being upset, maybe even a one seed. I think that's a long shot. I think LSU has a great shot to be a two seed, though, if they finish out winning the regular season title and at least advancing to the SEC tournament championship game. The great season that Javonte Smart has had, an up and down season where he's finally kind of learning how to play his game, and he's kind of, the game slowed down for him, and you can tell in the last few weeks, especially after Tremont Waters went out with an injury, with the illness. Naz Reid has finally figured out how to play within his body. Big B Williams is having a terrific year. But that's not going to be anything that's going to be talked about. It's going to be talked about Dan Wolkin of USA Today talking that Will Wade should resign and that they should just put themselves on self-probation, which is ridiculous, and not be part of the SEC tournament or the NCAA tournament. And Dick Vitale ranting and raving about it, about how it's a disgrace, which in itself is amusing because Dick Vitale is also a big Rick Pitino supporter. So I'm not for sure if he should be the one that should be commenting on what's disgraceful and what's, you know, gross. I think his buddy Rick Pitino's got that locked up. So yes, the national media is going to be focused in on this story. All eyes are going to be on the LSU program. Instead of focusing on this terrific season, now, regardless if Will Wade is found guilty of anything or if he admits to anything in court come April 22nd when he has to be subpoenaed to testify, none of that matters. Because now, because of what happened in the fall, and now because of these multiple reports, this season is going to be forever tainted. There's always going to be something about this season, whether you want to believe that or not. And if you're an LSU fan, you don't want to believe it, and that's fine. But other people, national media, outside the state, and even people inside the state are always going to look at this season and go, well, you know, they bought that team. And I'll get more into that on my rant of the week coming up in the second hour. But we're going to close out the first hour strong here on the Rap Game with RP3 right after this break on 103.7 The Game, your home of the LSU Tigers.
Let's put the spotlight on the boot. It's time for the Louisiana Wrap-Up.
Final segment of the first hour of Rap Game with RP3 coming at you right now live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. And Raymond, we're going to jump right into it now by doing a little Louisiana wrap-up outside of the state. But still, it will refer to a Raging Cajuns hoop squad, if I'm not mistaken. But we're out in Little Rock heading up north. What's going on, Raymundo?
Beautiful part of the country, by the way.
That Clinton country.
That can mean so many different things. We'll just leave it at that. I mean, I can't say anything. I went on my honeymoon to Hot Springs.
Yeah, so. I went to the Smoky Mountain.
There we go. So, no.
USA all the way.
So, the UL men's basketball squad, Bob Marlin's bunch, improved to 18-12 overall in the season with the 77-72 win over Little Rock. And look, this team needed this win because in senior night on Sunday, they lost to, inexplicably lost for a second time to a 9-win App State team, putting themselves in jeopardy of not getting one of those elusive spots down in New Orleans, being forced to play a play-in game. They bounced back in a big way with the 77-72 win over a Little Rock squad that's only won 10 games. And they did so in a different fashion, okay? Gant got into foul trouble, only scored 5 points and 3 rebounds. His worst performance, only had 13 minutes in the game. Marcus Stroman only had 8 points. Eight. He played 40 minutes, only had 8 points. But Cedric Russell, the former Peabody Magnets High star, who was coached by the soon-to-be inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, legendary coach Charles Smith at Peabody. He stepped up big, had a career game, dropped 34 points, played 36 minutes. He was huge. P.J. Hardy also chipped in 15 points. So even with Gant in foul trouble and Stroman not getting his shot to fall, the Raging Cajuns found a way to pull out the win. Congratulations to Cedric Russell for having a career game. And the Raging Cajuns taking one step closer to have to avoid the play-in game.
And at all costs, you must avoid the play-in game.
Yes.
We got one more stop to make before the hour's up. So let's move along in the Louisiana wrap-up and head over to the Big Easy. Let's talk some NOLA hoops now.
Yeah, disappointing news coming out with the New Orleans Pelicans. Update came out last night that Drew Holiday, who's been the unquestioned leader of this team through everything that's gone on with the Anthony Davis drama, with Dale Demps being fired, with the team just being awful. He's been that leader. He's also been their best player. He stepped up night after night and definitely the team MVP, but he's been diagnosed with a lower abdominal strain. Reports from the Pelicans actually say an MRI was taken yesterday morning and an examination by the Pelicans Director of Medical Services head team physician confirmed the injury. Holiday will be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. So not only is Anthony Davis on minutes restriction because of the agreement that Gail Benson, the Queen, and Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, have come to terms for or come to terms with, now your best player, your MVP, the heart and soul of this team, is going to be on the bench for at least 2 weeks. If I'm the Pels, Cody, I'll ask you. You usually ask me the questions. If you're the Pels, do you just shut down Drew for the rest of the year and just say, you know, don't worry about coming back?
I mean, unless Drew Holiday himself is in Alvin Gentry's ear and whoever's ear saying, no, when I'm healthy, I want to be on the court with my guys to maybe build a relationship for next season or beyond maybe. But if Drew Holiday is hurt and he's not comfortable with it and the team is looking at quote-unquote tanking anyways, then yeah, you probably just hang him up. And I believe we just got coming down the tube lines here. A real quick stop to make. I said it was the last one, but I lied. It's Friday. Forgive me. But let's go over to the Berry, New Iberia now on the Louisiana wrap-up.
Yes, some recruiting news. When one of the
Cruden,
one of the area's best prospects is Westgate wide receiver Markelvion Sawn. He announced yesterday that he had received an offer from the Cougs, the University of Houston.
A D1.
D1 offer for the Westgate High star, plays for Ryan Antoine there in the Barry. You know, a lot of the focus has obviously been on his running mate, okay, his teammate, who's considered by many to be the number one prospect in the 2020 class.
In the world!
In the world, who's already committed to LSU. But Sawn is a talented player, and he's already received his offer to go to the University of Houston. He said, hashtag, go. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs. So congratulations to the young man for starting to receive some more big-time offers, and congratulations to the Westgate Tigers for having another guy get an opportunity to play at the next level.
Now that's a Louisiana wrap-up.
When we come back, it'll be time for the second hour of the Wrap Game with RP3. Okay? We got a big second hour for you guys. My rant of the week. We'll have RPOs with RP3. We'll have our friend Tyler Nunes from Tiger Rag. He is going to join us as well.
And I'm thinking maybe in the second hour somewhere, I might fill you in and you listening as well on a purchase I made during that John Marques interview. I may have pulled my credit card out of my pocket and bought something online while you were talking to Mr. Marques. So that may come up later in the show, too. We'll see.
I hope so. Also, my bad. Bad on the host. Bad on the host.
Shame. Shame.
For giving out wrong information. I told y'all earlier that make sure to listen tonight at 2 p.m. on 1330 The Rewind and 97.7 to listen to the state championship game between the STM Cougars and De La Salle. I misspoke. It's actually Saturday. So make sure to mark it in your calendar. Ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to the STM state championship game versus De La Salle on 97.7. 7 or 1330 The Rewind at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Okay? Mark it in your calendars. More Rap Game with RP3 coming up after this break here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't stepped on your locker.
It's Rap Game with RP3, Raymond Parts III.
One of God's own prototypes, a high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it. Yeah, we have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears?
Uh-oh. RP3 is ready to sound off.
Serenity now! Serenity now!
Serenity now!
Serenity now!
Serenity now!
Serenity now!
This is more than a complaint, but less than a tirade. This is Ray's Rant of the Week.
Do you remember when you were a kid, and the lessons that your folks would tell you? You remember when you were a kid and you'd try to get away with something, right? And you'd be like, but mom, but dad, so-and-so's doing it. Well, so-and-so got away with it. So-and-so's doing this. So-and-so's parents let them do this. And what did your folks usually tell you? I know what mine told me. So, it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how they operate. It doesn't matter what their family does or what they allow their child to do. You're expected to do something the way we have taught you to do it. It's irrelevant what everyone else is doing. We have standards in this household. You have expectations. We have expectations on you, son, to behave a certain way, to carry yourself a certain way, to do things the right way. It doesn't matter if everyone else is doing it. It doesn't matter if they're trying to pressure you to do it or if someone else got away with it or cheated and got away with it. It doesn't matter. You don't cheat. You don't do this. And you don't put yourself in a position to allow that to happen. Right? These are basic core lessons that we're all taught, or we should be taught, when we're growing up. And that's the only thing that I can think of. I keep coming back to it since the news has dropped more so yesterday with the Yahoo report regarding Will Wade. And this is to the LSU fans. I don't want to hear any whining. I don't want to hear any complaining. I don't want to hear about any pointing fingers. I don't want to hear about North Carolina. They got away with academic fraud and so forth and so forth. And this team does this and this team does this. No. That's all irrelevant. It doesn't matter what North Carolina does. It doesn't matter what any other team program does in the country. The simple fact of the matter is this. Your head basketball coach decided to put himself in a situation to be hanging out with shady people. Low-level agents or wannabe low-level agents, people hangers-on, your gut tells you that this guy, Will Wade knew that this guy was shady. He knew this guy was what he was. This is the type of call them fiends that circle AAU circles for years. So Will Wade knew what he was doing. He was voluntarily spending time and having conversations with some scumbag wannabe agent that was looking to get paid. Remember what you're told when you're growing up? Be mindful of the company you keep. Will Wade, no one forced him to have a conversation with this Dawkins dude. No one forced him to do that. It's not like Joe Oliva and the athletic department or the president of the university says, you better go talk to this Dawkins fella. He's trying to represent some of these prospects. He wants to kind of get in line with them to help them get to the next level. No one made Will Wade do that. Your head basketball coach jeopardized not only himself, but the integrity of the university, the athletic department, and the state of Louisiana. He a grown man. I can guarantee you Will Wade was taught better. Now, regardless of what happens with the NCAA, because we have heard nothing from them, very vague statement at best, they're going to take their time. And look, we all know that the NCAA, 9 times out of 10, is very incompetent when it comes to doing these things. They go wildly all over the place. They either don't do anything, as in the case of the UNC academic fraud case, because they got away with that because, well, those fake classes were offered to everyone. So it's okay. Nothing happened there. The NCAA is hypocritical. They contradict themselves constantly. They don't know how to handle situations the right way. All this is true. And all this is true that other programs get away with stuff? Absolutely. But it does not matter. It does not matter about those other programs. It is irrelevant. Your coach made a decision to associate himself with a shady character. He did that. Now, whether or not anyone can prove that something he did something wrong, that there was some type of payment that Will Wade made or anything like that, we don't know about that. And there may be a 100% chance that that never happens, that that's never proven in a court of law. And we have no idea what's going to occur on April 22nd in New York when he's going to be subpoenaed to testify in a trial about corruption in the purchasing of players in college athletics. Hell, he could go in there and plead the fifth. He could say, I'm just not talking. And I'll also say this nonsense of going ahead and just saying, you know, we're going to self-impose and everything like that. No. Why? First of all, why would LSU do that when there's time and time again that the NCAA, what we think is going to be a slam dunk case, the NCAA says, well, we can't really find any fault, so there's no punishment. Okay. So why do that? That's the first thing. It's just silly. And national media speaking on it and saying all these things, this is what they do. They parachute in. They see a story that is going to get clicks, and they talk about it. And, you know, I guarantee you Dan Wolken hasn't even shown up at any LSU games probably this year. He's just writing from afar. Okay? So I understand that that may agitate you, LSU fans. I get it. But you have to own the fact that your coach possibly jeopardize the best season in a generation. That the ramifications of his behavior off the court could cost you a banner, could cost you great accolades, could put a black eye on the program. And I speak from experience because I know what I'm going to hear. Well, you know, you don't root for LSU. No, I've lived through this. I lived through Alabama almost getting the death penalty in the late 90s. Being on probation twice, being stripped of scholarships, being embarrassed by one head coach who couldn't stop sexing up his secretary, another head coach who couldn't coach, and recruiting violations left and right. Okay? You have to live with the embarrassment. You have to live with that. But it's not the NCAA's fault. It's not anyone else's fault. Because at the end of the day, if Will Wade would have heeded to the lessons that my parents taught me and that all of you out there, your parents taught you, he would have never put himself in that situation. Do the right thing. Live the way that you've been taught to live. It doesn't matter. I understand. I already hear the argument. Well, that's the state of college basketball and college athletics. Recruiting goes everywhere. You're damn right recruiting goes everywhere. It always has. From the late 70s and early 80s at SMU to USC in the early 2000s and everywhere in between. Coast to coast, north to south, it don't matter. Football, basketball, baseball, softball, hell, lacrosse. There's recruiting going on everywhere. You're exactly correct. But just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you should. And Will Wade knows better. He knows this. He knows this. And he decided not to.
I would just say as an argument to it, because you're saying, you know, could possibly cost LSU a banner, their best season in decades since Shaq or whatever the case, and all that very well could be true. But, and I honestly, this is all still so fresh that I don't know exactly how I feel about it just yet. But if Will Wade doesn't do these shady dealings, allegedly, or doesn't do whatever the case was, and let's hypothetically say that Will Wade did do something to bring Javonte Smart or whomever in to play basketball at LSU, without doing that, there probably isn't a banner year.
That's correct. So
it's just, I don't, that's what makes, I don't know how I feel about it, because yes, you could cost LSU a banner, so to speak, by doing these dealings. But if you don't do these dealings, then LSU never gets close to that banner in the first place.
But didn't we just have a team called Loyola Marymount make the Final Four last year?
Yeah, but we don't know who's to say 5-10 years from now something doesn't come out.
Right, but all I'm saying is that the notion of, like, you know, Javonte Smart, if he would have went to Kentucky, you know, because he was recruited by Kentucky and right. He ends up staying at home. Okay, so yeah, I get that argument. So if you're, and you are a diehard yeah. LSU fan, is it worth it? I guess my question to you is, if you're on the fence and you feel like it's worth it because you're going to have possibly this great season that you're always going to remember, because that's the other thing that's stupid, the whole removing the seasons, right. Okay, from the record books, that's stupid.
Wins.
I remember the Fab Five playing at Michigan. I remember it. I remember watching it. Just like I remember watching USC in football destroy Oklahoma
right.
for the national title. So you can remove it from the record books and the ledger all you want. That's stupid. Okay, that's just a dumb thing by the NCAA. That said, is it worth it for you? I guess that'd be my bigger, because if it is worth it and you're like, well, this is what everyone else is doing and we have to do whatever we can to keep up with the Joneses kind of situation, are you okay living with the fact that you possibly are going to be placed on probation, put your program back 5 years, and forever have a black eye associated with your basketball team?
And that's the question. I mean, not at all in the same vein, but similarly, a guy like Art Briles, and then the CFL team, the Ticats, didn't they hired him, right? Was that the team that hired him for about 30 minutes? Before, you
oh,
know,
they tried to. Oh no, and they other, tried. Southern Miss tried to hire him too.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so I mean, somebody is always going to think that yes, it's worth it. It's up to the head person, the presidents of these universities, the owners of other NBA franchises. Since we're talking Will Wade, it's up to them to decide, you know, whether it's worth it or not. Because for a fan to decide whether it's worth it or not, that's neither here nor there. I could sit here, you know, all day, because Javonte Smart getting paid to go to college doesn't affect me any. Will Wade getting a show cause and not being able to coach in the NCAA doesn't affect me any. Yeah, I'm an LSU fan, but if LSU goes to the Final Four, me saying that it's worth it at the end of the day doesn't mean jack. It really, who decides whether it means something or not are the people that are going to either continue or not continue to give Will Wade a career in basketball.
That is correct. And here's the thing about that as well. There had already been rumblings. There were rumblings about Will Wade before he got to LSU. Okay? When he was at Chattanooga, right. He was at VCU. There was always just some slight rumblings behind it, and you're like,
How'd this young cat figure it out this quick, right?
You know, and, you know, he takes over a team, and his second year, they look like a Final Four team. You know, I get LSU fans, you're frustrated. I understand.
This is your rant that I've waffled on the most. Out of all the rants of the week, this is the one where you would say one sentence and I'd be like, no, you're right. And then you would say something else and I'd be like, but? And then you would say something and I'd be like, no, that's a good point. And then this is a weird situation for anybody who, if you're listening and you're a diehard LSU fan like I am, I think we may share the feelings of we know what the right thing is. But we also, maybe because we're too diehard and we're homers, we maybe don't care, maybe, speaking for myself.
I can understand that. Trust me. I can understand that.
You know,
I can understand that.
So it's tough. It's
tough. But once again,
I'm not going to try to think about it too hard. I just want to watch LSU play Vandy on Saturday and then go and let the chips fall where they may. Maybe that's the wrong attitude, but that's kind of where I'm landing.
And hope.
Exactly.
That it doesn't serve as a huge distraction.
So far,
and
all
you
of
get
this,
bounced in the first weekend of the tournament.
Right. And there is a transcript. I understand that of the tape and all that. But so far, you know, Smart referring to whatever. It's all alleged. Nothing is been
that is
proven.
Right. We do yet. Not know that's Javonte
so,
Smart. That
we're
could
not
be
stupid,
for something
but we don't know that. So it's.
But it's not a good look.
I'm not trying to call you dumb by saying, oh, you said smart. It could be referring to anything. I'm not calling you dumb.
He could be referring to anything. We don't know. And like I said before, there's enough, if you read the transcripts, there's enough gray area in it, Cody.
You're a good enough lawyer.
You lawyer up, you can make the argument, well, I wasn't talking about financial
right
anything. I was talking about the piece of the pie of making sure that of the scholarship pie that we have to give out to athletes, that he would have a piece of that. You see how that works?
Will Wade being a smart ass. Javonte Smart likes cherry pie. That's just on the stand. What do you have to say for yourself, Coach? Javonte Smart likes cherry pie. Case closed.
And just,
I don't think it's going to be
just
that
be
easy.
Be ornery the whole time.
I don't think it's going to be that easy.
What are you talking about? What? I was talking about key lime pie.
That's not me. That's a coach. We know this. That's not me.
just pull the R. Kelly. That's not me in that video.
We're laughing, but it's really not funny.
When we come back, we're going to lighten the mood a little bit. RPOs with RP3 are up next here on the Rap Game with RP3 here on 103.7 The Game, your home of the LSU Tigers.
Blue poncho.
Shotgun formation. Cody snaps the questions.
Dre.
And RP3 makes the reads. This is RPOs with RP3.
Blue poncho.
Welcome back to the Rap Game with RP3, coming at you live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Ray, we're in shotgun formation. Are you ready for some RPOs, brother?
I am ready.
Then let's start it by talking a little LSU baseball, if you will. Plain, simple, straight to the point. RPO for me on this tonight being Zach Hess's final Friday start of the season.
Oh, that's.
And don't get all technical with Fridays. You know what the hell I mean.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good one, Shoots, because you're putting me. You know, I'm gonna do the cop out. I'm gonna go option here.
Okay, explain yourself.
If he pitches well, then he's going to remain the Friday night
what
starter
well?
For SEC play. Get to the fifth inning without giving up four runs or more.
That's kind of what I said to Dave. I was like, six innings, three runs or less, please. Kind of get there. So okay, we're on the same page then.
Get past the fifth inning, not giving up four runs.
Don't walk 12 guys, maybe. Probably a good idea, too.
You know, I he doesn't. Look, they don't need Zach Hess
to be Alex Lang, to be Austin Nola. They don't need that guy because of the offense.
Right. Because of the offense, they just need him to be okay.
I think I said Austin Nolan. You know I'm an Aaron.
Yeah. They just need him to be okay. They need him to be an okay guy. Give up about three runs a game, go 5 to 6 innings.
Right.
That's all they need. They got the bullpen. They can take care of the rest.
And if he does that, that win tally on his stat sheet is going to go up and up and up and up and up.
Yeah. But he just has to have control on that. But once again, that we've talked about this, and we talked about this a lot with Ron Higgins the other day right. from Tiger Details. He's like, I just don't think the guy is a starter. I think he's – because at the next level, he's projected to be a reliever.
Right.
He has the stuff to be a reliever, a short-term guy that can
come
in.
He looks like an eighth-inning guy to me.
Right. But that's – once again, that is Palminteri's dude. And the dude abides.
The dude abides. Hopefully.
I'll take an option. If he pitches well – or pitches just okay, he will continue to be the Friday starter.
I don't want to take too much time, but this I just had a thought in my head. It would be so great. If Zach Hess is like, you know, he comes out and he does his thing and he just throws a stellar performance. I mean, just great. Knocking him out. K's left and right after the game. Jacques Doucet, whoever it is, on the field asking him, oh, Zach, what was the key? What was your mindset going into the game? How did you get so prepared to come out and have the performance you did? And he just looks like directly into the camera or whatever it is. And just pulls, just a bleep it. Let's go play baseball. That was his thought. Instead of the let's go bowling, just to bleep it. Let's go play baseball.
I'm hoping if he has a really good performance, he just comes out in like a dirty bathrobe to talk to with a white Russian in his hand,
sunglasses on. I mean, the best would be the
best. Yeah, no man.
I mean, he is the dude.
You're Lebowski. I'm the dude.
Yeah. You got the wrong guy. Anyways, we're still talking LSU, but let's move over to the hardwood. Forget about Coach Will Wade for right now and that whole fiasco, because neither one of us is really, well, you maybe know how to feel. I have no idea. But LSU hoops, they have plenty of distractions in front of them right now, but also in front of them is a chance at the SEC regular season championship. If LSU beats Vandy on Saturday, it's it. It's done. It's wrapped up. Give it to the Tigers. RPO, LSU hoops will get past those distractions and bring home an SEC championship regular season.
I'm going to run with that. I'm going to run with that all day long.
I mean, Vanderbilt, some adversity coming at them.
Vanderbilt is the worst team in the SEC.
Winless.
They are terrible.
Terrible.
So even with the distractions, LSU has enough talent to whoop up on this Vandy team. Okay, and a lot of times when these kind of things happen, the team itself will kind of come together. Regardless how Javonte feels, allegedly, if he is the guy that's being mentioned as smart in the transcripts,
right,
if he feels like his coach, you know, threw some shade his way or whatever it may be, or the national media asking, I don't think that matters. I think they'll rally for it. I think this could serve as a bigger distraction in the SEC tournament because there'll be more on the line and in the NCAA tournament. Especially, like, there'll be far more eyes on them for the SEC tournament in Nashville, and then there'll be even more eyes on them come the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That's where it could be as a distraction because of the format and because of all the spotlight. But right now, on a Saturday, against a woeful Vandy team,
yeah,
I think they'll be fine.
I hope so as well. Now, one more real quick one for you. It is, if you didn't know, happy International Women's Day today, Raymundo. So happy International Women's Day to you if you are listening out there and you are of the female variety. It is your day, so enjoy it. And that leads me to my final RPO. Raymond, I need to know from you, are you going to do anything and everything in your power to see Captain Marvel this opening weekend? I told you, I made a purchase during the John Marques interview. I bought myself 5 tickets to the Movie Tavern in Baton Rouge tonight to go see Captain Marvel. RPO, will you do whatever you can to get there this weekend?
I'm going to pass.
But you have a little girl. This is all for her.
That is true.
She's young, I get it, but still.
That's going to be a loud movie, too.
It is.
And it's going to be a lot of loud. That's going to be a loud movie. That's not. There's a big difference for me taking her to go watch The Minions.
Or Lego Movie 2.
Okay.
And
Captain Marvel, which is going to be, you know, it's going to have some, you know, impact violence. It's going to be, you know, big blockbuster.
It's rated PG-13, so they are allowed one F-bomb if they choose to use it.
But we will go to see it. But, you know, that brings up an interesting point, Cody.
Okay.
You know, you are the host of the 20 by 20 podcast. Yes?
I am.
Yet, your boy over here saw a movie about female empowerment
the other night.
Fighting with my family, the true story, based on the true story of Paige.
I know.
2-time Divas champion.
I can't hide that.
I saw it.
I can't hide behind it. You got me on that one, Ray.
So, hey, why don't you, on this next segment, why don't you get the old credit card out and buy you some tickets for that as well. Make it a double feature day this weekend.
I got to bring Kaysen with me. I can't do 2 movies.
I can't do 2 movies. You're asking me to do too much, Raymond.
Come on, Raymond.
When we come back here on The Rap Game with RP3, we'll talk to Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag, LSU Hoops Talk, LSU Baseball Talk as well, right here on 103.7 The Game, your home of the LSU Tigers. Welcome back to the Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parse III. We're here on 103.7 The Game, your home of the LSU Tigers. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, as always, 337-706-0111. Big news day yesterday, and it's kind of bled over to today, and it's going to be that way throughout the weekend for the LSU men's basketball team. Reminder, you can listen to the game live right here on 103.7 The Game, your home of the LSU Tigers. Pre-game Saturday night for the LSU versus Vandy game live from the PMAC is at 7, tip at 7:30. We're going to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. You can read his work in the illustrious award-winning Tiger Rag. It's the one and only Tyler Nunez. Tyler, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. It was a busy day yesterday, but we're through it now, and now we get to look forward to this regular season finale tomorrow.
You said it was a busy day. What are you talking about? Their news broke yesterday concerning LSU?
Maybe a little bit. Will Wade might be in a little bit of hot water. It's kind of an interesting situation. It's still not exactly a smoking gun, but it's not exactly anything I'd be optimistic about either. Things are looking a little. If Yahoo's able to get this, you have to wonder what more the FBI and the defense attorneys have in that trial case. And we're probably not going to hear much about it until April 22nd when the trial comes. But that was a pretty scathing report. It doesn't look great.
It doesn't look great, and the thing I've said earlier too, Tyler, is that you know the Yahoo Sports has got their top dogs on this, and it feels like we're getting some it's slow playing. Like we got this report. I would anticipate one more little mini bombshell probably between now and the trial on April 22nd, and that's just how it feels. It feels to me like they got more, or they're going to get more. And we're just kind of the tip of the iceberg here. You looked over the report. You dissected it. That's part of your job with Tiger Rag, the Bible of LSU Sports, brother. What really kind of stood out to you and kind of made you cringe when you read the report?
Well, the biggest problem is that it seems to indicate that, I mean, he was talking about a player that's currently on their roster. When he refers to Smart. That in the previous report, there was talk of them potentially talking to Christian Dawkins about a player that didn't end up going to LSU, and so he thought, well, if that's all they had, then it wouldn't really amount to much. But now they're talking about a player that is currently on the roster, and while there's no definite deal that's talked about, the fact that the FBI has a wiretap of him allegedly trying to make a deal with this third party for a player that's currently on the roster, that doesn't really bode well.
No, it doesn't bode well. And like you said, we were talking about the young man. I want to say the report back in last fall, right before, well, on the eve of media day for the SEC, that kid is originally, I want to say, from like Europe, and then he came into Florida, and he was a prospect there in Florida. He ended up signing with Florida State. The young man that was talked about in the first report with Dawkins. My point would be to all of this, Tyler, is look, we all understand how this works in college athletics, whether it's football or basketball or whatever sport may be. Recruiting goes on and shady practices happen everywhere. I don't care what school you're for, what school you represent, what the president may say. It does not matter. It goes on everywhere. We know that, especially with basketball. We've known about basketball and how AAU and the go-between and the wannabe agents have kind of taken over how recruiting is done for college basketball. We all watched He Got Game. If you haven't, you can borrow it from me. Just ask. Yeah. that said, if this all proves, Wade's got to know better. He's got to know that this cat is a shady cat. Like that's my biggest fundamental issue is, you know, in your gut when these guys are shady. Like, you know. And if he's had multiple conversations with this guy, and we looked at the report and the conversation he had, he's very friendly with Dawkins. You got to know better, right? I mean, I understand, but you just got to know better. You got to understand that. There's these guys out there, these sharks, these piranhas, that are only doing this for one reason. And they don't care about the university. They don't care about you as a coach. They don't care about the kid. The only thing they care about is getting paid, man. And Wade's got to know that. He ain't stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is there's a bunch of Christian Dawkinses out there. It's not just Christian Dawkins.
Oh,
Christian
God, Dawkins, yes, you're exactly correct. Yeah, there's thousands of them out there.
Will Wade got caught. It's kind of in the middle of this, but that's because he was talking to the wrong one. He was talking to the one that got caught.
Yep.
It's really an unfortunate situation, this whole thing, because what's going to end up happening is going to end up hurting student athletes more than anybody else. I mean, either LSU is going to lose scholarships or they're going to get a postseason ban if all of this comes to fruition. And who this is really going to hurt more than anybody is student athletes. I think Will Wade's going to be fine. I think LSU's athletic department is going to be fine with this. The way the NCAA operates, who's going to get hurt are kids, and that's the most frustrating part about this entire thing.
Yeah, and for me too, and I made this point earlier, this has been a tremendous season for the LSU basketball team. They have an opportunity on Saturday, if they take care of business against a woeful Vandy team, is that they can win their first regular season championship since 2009. They'll be the one seed in the tournament, the SEC tournament. They have not won a conference tournament. They've only won it once, and that was back in 1981. So they have a great opportunity to accomplish a lot, a tremendous season. Go to the NCAA tournament. People are talking about them as a Final Four team. And all this came after the fact that they lost one of their brothers, right? They had a teammate get murdered. And they honor him night in and night out with the way that they come back and rally from deficits in games and winning close games and winning in overtime and being the first time LSU had ever been undefeated on the road in SEC play this year. I want to say
they've been undefeated before. They've gone 8-0, but this is the first time they've gone 9-0.
Thank you. All this and kind of honor of Wade, the kid from Baton Rouge, the kid that everyone loved in his memory, doing it for him, and now it's been tainted by this. Regardless if Wade is found, we know Tyler, you know this just like I do. Regardless if Will Wade is found guilty of anything, there's always going to be people who are going to always view them and what LSU did like they view the New England Patriots when it comes to the NFL. Okay, it's always, well, they cheat, right? And that's not fair to those kids. That's not fair to Skylar Mays or Big B Williams or any of those kids. And that's the thing that's the most disappointing for me in all of this. You're exactly correct. Will Wade, if he loses his job, he'll find another one. Bruce Pearl's coaching at Auburn. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
John Calipari's at Kentucky. Calipari left UMass and Memphis in shambles.
In shambles.
They're still trying to recover.
So, but Will Wade will be taken care of. He'll get paid millions of dollars to coach somewhere else. But it's the kids that are going to have to be the ones that are going to have to live with it and constantly get reminded for the rest of their career or rest of their life, you were part of that great LSU team, but you guys cheated because you bought recruits. Regardless if it's proven to be true or not, that's how it's going to work out. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, probably, but I think the players on LSU will take it. I mean, I've talked to a lot of players and coaches who have had losses vacated, and they don't really care. they know what they did, they know what they accomplished, and I think that's kind of got to be Wade's message at this point, right? Like, we still have to go out here and just win basketball games. That's our only goal, is to go out here and win basketball games by any means necessary. Now, if those means necessary, coming back on Will Wade might have some consequences later down the road. But I think as far as this LSU team goes right now, I think they're just going to go out there and try to play basketball. Because, I mean, these kids, they probably have some part to do with it, but they're just looking out for their best interest, and they're playing a part in a system that they have to play a part in if they want to play at a program like LSU. So these kids, in my opinion, didn't do anything wrong. They just want to go out there and try to win a championship, and I think that's what they're going to try to do.
We're talking to Tyler Nunez, Tiger Rag. Tyler, let's go back a few days. Let's go back what occurred on the court. Big gut check win the other night at Florida. I boldly, you'll like this, I boldly said that LSU was going to win the other night and win by double digits. I, of course, was wrong. I just thought they would come out and be focused, but Florida gave them everything they could handle, and it's tough to play in Gainesville. Tremont Waters had that terrific play to force overtime, and then they were able to hold off the Gators there in overtime to get the win. Did you learn anything new about the team in that game?
No, I don't know if there's any anything about this basketball team at this point. I think we've kind of figured out what they're made of. I think it was really impressive the way they were able to get Cazal, Big B Williams, and Naz Reid involved on offense, as well as Emmett Williams. The post play this time around against Florida was much better. So I think that's something that we can take away, the fact that Will Wade was able to find a way to get the ball into the paint, and that's where that's where LSU's at their best. I mean, they can take three-pointers all day long, but that's not going to really help them because they're not a great three-point shooting team. They're a great rebounding team, and they're great at shooting in the post. The fact that they drove as much as they did, the fact that they were able to get as many second chance opportunities as they got, I think that was the big takeaway, because those were kind of absent in the first game against Florida, when Florida really dictated the pace.
The thing that I've also been kind of impressed with is how well, and look, this is not to take anything away from Tremont Waters. I don't want it to come off that way, because he is a phenomenal talent. But Javonte Smart seemingly plays, he has a little something extra when he's on the floor with Skyler. I may not have any stats to back that up, Tyler, but when I see Skyler and Javonte play together, there's just something about those two when they're on the court at the same time that just comes off to me as special. Like they really know how to play well with one another. Am I completely off base there?
No, not at all. I think that part of that is the fact that those guys have kind of played together and against each other for a long time. That's kind of an underrated part of this LSU team. A lot of these guys have played summer ball with each other for years now, like a decade. So it's not a completely brand new team. They were able to kind of mesh a little bit earlier than I think a lot of people expected. But I think that those two really complement each other well. They both are able to drive, and they both can. Both can finish very well. Skylar Mays' finishing ability is very underrated. And Javonte Smart is well documented. So I think that they both bring similar things to the table, and they complement each other really well. They when one's driving to the lane, the other's able to kick out and wait for a pass for a potential three-point shot. But they're fairly reliable. They're about as reliable from the three-point line as anybody else on LSU's roster.
Yeah, and they just seem to play very well together. What did you think of how Waters looked the other night? He was slowly brought along against Alabama there inside Coleman Coliseum the game prior. What did you think of how Tremont played overall against Florida?
I thought he played well. Obviously, he had some mistakes down the stretch, which is becoming a bit of a concerning trend for a lot of people, I think. But you can't also forget that he hit the layup to send it to overtime, and he also hit a three-pointer early in overtime to give LSU a five-point lead. So I think Tremont Waters looked good. I think he looked like himself again for the first time since he kind of went out with that illness. And I think that we will we'll see how it goes moving forward, but I think they're pretty comfortable with where he's at right now.
Tyler, we'll wrap it up with this. I want to talk a little baseball talk with you. I know you focus in on basketball, but I want to get your insight on the diamond. It's the series against Texas, you know, has got a lot of folks nervous, but the great Tiger legend himself, Ben McDonald, said, calm down. A championship's not won in March. Wait, you know, this team still has plenty of time. And I've made the argument that, you know, this is still a team. The majority of this year's team was played on last year's team, and last year's team struggled for most of the season until they put it together and made a run to even get into an NCAA regional. So there's going to be some time here when you got the freshmen that you're adding, and you got a team that was, you know, was mediocre a good portion of last season and finally figured out how to turn it on towards the tail end of the year, and you got a couple guys coming back from injury. I understand getting swept by Texas is not ideal, but does anyone really believe that Paul Menieri is not going to figure out a way to get this team right by the time the middle of conference play comes around?
Yeah, I think the biggest concern right now is the pitching staff. I think they're still trying to figure out what to do there. They obviously took Landon Marceau out of the rotation this weekend, so it should be interesting to see how Cole Henry pitches on Saturday. I think that once they figure out the pitching staff, I think everybody will be a little bit more comfortable, because I don't think anybody's really worried about this team offensively. Yeah, they had a bad outing against Texas, but Texas plays in a giant park and it was cold outside, so hitting was a little bit more difficult than it normally would be. I'm not really concerned yet, but I do think that they really need this pitching situation in a bit of a hurry, because, I mean, this is their last non-conference weekend of the season.
What do you think about Zach Hess? Do you think that he's been the topic of conversation this year?
Yeah.
A lot of people feel he's not a starter, that he's more of a bullpen guy. Do you think that he needs to pitch well tonight to remain a Friday starter, or do you think Maneri's going to stay with, quote-unquote, his dude?
I think he does need to pitch well tonight. I'm not sure what they're going to do if he doesn't, because I'm not really sure who fits the bill to be a Friday night starter outside of him. No one's really kind of stepped up in that way outside of maybe Jaden Hill, but he's been for a couple of weeks with some shoulder soreness. So if he doesn't do well tonight, I think we're going to start seeing some pretty creative rotations. That's what I'm going to. That's going to be my prediction. He'll definitely pitch next week, but he might not start on Friday, and I think we might see a lot more pitchers go out there than we usually do.
Brother, I appreciate you making time for us as always, Tyler. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ray.
Tyler Nunes, Tiger Rack, breaking down LSU hoops, Will Wade situation, and gave us a little baseball talk. Because what the hell not? By the way, reminder, LSU baseball versus the Cal Bears of the Pac-12, who have the reigning Golden Spikes winner, the best player in the country, what that award is for. They come in town tonight. You can listen to it live right here on 103.7 The Game. Pre-game will be 6:30. The brother himself, Ben Love, on Bumper to Bumper Sports will lead you in from 4 to 6:30 to pre-game for LSU baseball, and then first pitch around 7. They'll take Saturday off because we'll be broadcasting the LSU versus Vanderbilt basketball game, pregame at 7, tip at 7:30. But then on Sunday, we'll be back for the Tigers baseball there at Alex Box Stadium when they wrap up the three-game series versus the Cal Bears. 11:30 pregame, noon, first pitch. We'll wrap up today's show and the week in glorious fashion. Cody Schutz assures me it will be in glorious fashion right here on 103.7 The Game.
I promised you glorious, and I delivered.
Oh, take a bow, Mr. Schutz. What a way to end the week, brother. Glorious. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, the man on the ones and twos.
Feeling pretty glorious right now.
Feeling pretty glorious. Big day for you.
It is.
For the Cody Schutz. He went ahead and got his tickets for Captain Marvel.
I did. It's
been the highlight of the day for you.
So pumped. Starting like Wednesday after work, anytime I saw a clip, because Captain Marvel has been everywhere. Like, unless, like Will Wade says, you're living under a rock, like you haven't missed any of these Captain Marvel marketing opportunities or anything.
There's a giant poster at the movie theater.
There's.
Well, I went the other night.
During this was actually pretty cool. I have a second here to squeeze this in. During Raw and SmackDown of this week, during women's matches, they would go to a commercial during the match, and in that commercial break, the first commercial would show like a clip of two women wrestling in WWE, and they do a cool move, and then it would cut to like a clip from the Captain Marvel trailer, and then back to a couple women wrestling a cool match, and then back to the Captain Marvel. It did that, you know, three or four times before at the end it showed it just put the word her in the middle of the screen, and then it faded in around the word her, a hero.
Oh,
and
nice.
it was really cool. Nice. And that was the only thing on the screen, and then it just showed you Captain Marvel out this Friday and everything. And then of course it's International Women's Day on top of that. So Disney, if you didn't already know, has the greatest marketing team in the world.
They always have. Always have. I want to thank our guest today for coming on the Rap Game, John Marques from the Town Talk and the TownTalk.com, making some time for us. I want to thank Tyler Nunes from Tiger Rag. I want to thank Patrick McClellan for not coming on the show, because that gave us more time to talk more LSU. So we'll give him some dap for that.
Good, that's not bad.
We're efforting. Stand by. We'll have Patrick on. I don't know when.
It's kind of up to him at this point.
Hey, pretty much. That's how that works. Y'all have a great weekend. Reminder, high school basketball state championship, STM versus De La Salle, Saturday, 2 o'clock. You can listen to it live here on our sister stations, 97.7, as well as 1330 The Rewind. So good luck to the Cougs and trying to win another state championship. Y'all have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Enjoy yourself. Cody, terrific job as always. We will talk to y'all on Monday. This is the Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game.